1889. February 1st, 1889. The Child Saved from the Flood. Ellen G. White. The children of Israel dwelt in Egypt, and under Joseph's fostering care and the favor of the king who was then ruling, they multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. But Joseph died, and another king arose who knew him not. And he said unto his people, Behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that, when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. To prevent this, they were reduced to slavery, and taskmasters were set over them. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Then the king commanded that their little children should be killed. He charged his people to keep strict watch of the Israelites, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. While this cruel decree was in full force, Moses was born. His mother concealed him for 3 months, and then, finding that she could keep him no longer with any safety, she prepared a little vessel of bulrushes, making it watertight by means of lime and pitch, and after placing the child therein, she placed it among the flags at the river's brink. His sister lingered near, apparently indifferent, yet all the time anxiously watching to see what would become of her little brother. Angels also were watching that no harm should come to the helpless infant, placed there by an affectionate mother, and committed to the care of God by her earnest prayers. These angels directed the footsteps of Pharaoh's daughter to the river. Her attention was attracted by the little vessel, and she sent one of her waiting maids to fetch it. In it was a lovely child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. She knew that a Hebrew mother had taken this means to preserve the life of her much-loved babe, and she decided at once that this little child should be her son. The sister of Moses immediately came forward and inquired, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Permission was given her, and she joyfully sped to her mother, related to her the happy news, and conducted her in haste to Pharaoh's daughter. The child was committed to the mother to nurse, and she thankfully entered upon her now safe and happy task. This Hebrew mother believed that God had preserved the life of her child for some great work, and she was particular in his instruction. By her faithful teachings, she instilled into his young mind the fear of God and love for truth and justice. She knew that he was soon to be separated from her and given up to his adopted royal mother, to be surrounded by influences calculated to make him disbelieve in the true God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, and she sought to impress his mind with the sin of idolatry. The instructions which Moses received from his parents were such as to fortify his mind and shield him from corruption amid the luxury and extravagance of court life. The splendor that surrounded him and the flattery he received could not make him forget his despised brethren in slavery. Moses was carefully educated in the Egyptian court, and when he became a man, he was learned in all the learning of the Egyptians, and was in every sense of the word a great man. But God saw that he was not yet prepared to lead Israel out of the land of bondage into the good land and large, the land flowing with milk and honey, that had been promised to them by the Lord. 40 years he spent in the land of Midian, communing with God and his own heart as he kept the flocks of Jethro. Then he was ready for the great work before him, and the commission came. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Mrs. E. G. White.